John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It is a joy always to bring the message of the gospel, and today we're returning to John chapter 14. We're looking at the works that the Christian will do who believes in the Lord Jesus. That is, if your faith is in Christ, we shall do even greater works than Jesus did while on earth. Now, this might seem absolutely impossible, but remember that Jesus never left the area of Judea. He did miracles, he preached the gospel, there were many believers, and there was a great work established, and the testimony of his ministry was certainly begun. But the greater works came after his death and after his resurrection, when he ascended to the Father, poured out the Holy Spirit, and there was the evangelism explosion that started in the first century and has never ceased until today. This gospel is all around the world. And what the Lord is doing in the world today, by its scope, is even greater what Jesus did on earth when he was physically present. So let's rejoice today that we shall see the works of the Lord. Stay tuned as we turn to our pulpit ministry.
I wonder what you think of Peter's question in verse 7, where he said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Well, it's not really a question, but certainly it's a leading request. And it is a very telling statement that he makes. Now, one of the major studies of my ministry over the years that stands out in my mind is to answer the question, what is God? And as I struggled with that for days and days and prepared to preach on it, I felt very much like a little mouse at the bottom of Mount Everest. Because when you try to comprehend the eternal God, it makes you realize just how tiny and puny we are. Now, what can we know of the Father, or what can we know of God? This has been the question of the ages that has bamboozled philosophers and has really, for many, turned up empty. And the reality is that we can know God only so far as he is pleased to reveal himself. Only as much as God reveals of himself to us can we comprehend him. Now, there's a verse in Deuteronomy 29 and the verse 29, which is, again, very telling, very helpful, and settles a lot of this issue. And the verse simply says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law." And so God is like a pyramid. And very often we only see one side. We can never say that we have comprehended God. Or like an iceberg where it is jutting out of the water, but the vast majority of it is unseen. And of course, God is known by to us as he is pleased to reveal himself. Now, God, thankfully, has revealed himself in a number of ways. By his creation, we see his wisdom, power, majesty, and the wonder of creation. And we have to reason the one who made all of this must be himself, superb and majestic. God has revealed himself also by his names. When he spoke to men, he gave various names. I am, Jehovah, Elohim, Jehovah Shaddai, Jehovah Rophi, and various other names and titles that give us much information of the nature and character of God. But the fullest revelation that we have of God is in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And one of the theses of John, in this Gospel of John, is that the Son has come into the world to declare the Father. And if you look at chapter 118, right at the very beginning of this book, which John carries this theme all the way through, and he states here in verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And so this is the revelation of the Father unto us through his Son. Now, when we read John 14, 7 to 11, you will see staggering words, staggering claims by the Lord Jesus. For example, let's just read some of these verses. Jesus said, he's speaking here now to his disciples, or to Thomas, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And then you have this question by Philip, which really was a window into the darkness and the ignorance in Philip's heart of God. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And then he goes on to talk right down there in verse 11, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Now, nobody but one who is God himself, who dwelt with God, who came from God, who was the eternally begotten Son of God, could state such claims as we find in these verses in John 14. And the problem with Philip, he didn't get it. He didn't grasp the fullness of the Godhead that is in the Lord Jesus. Now let's focus in on verse 10. And we're going to strip this verse down statement by statement and try and grasp what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Now that word in means united to. The original word calls for an understanding that it goes right into the center of. And the Lord Jesus is in the Father in the sense that he is united to him. And the Father in me. The Father is likewise in union and united to the Son. Now, I have a little statement here, is that I pity anyone who denies the Trinity trying to comprehend these statements of the Lord Jesus. And it's only when we realize that the Godhead is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are equal in power, perfections, glory, honor, and they are one in their purposes. And when you accept and when you understand the Trinity, that all three are sharing the same eternal essence, that these statements really back that up, and we can make some sense out of them. Now, also in verse 10, the third little clause, it says, Jesus, it says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father. So here you will see that Jesus' words carry the full authority of the Father. And then again in that text, but the Father that dwelleth in me. That, of course, is staggering. That is mysterious. The Father dwelleth in the Son. There is no separation between Father and Son. There is no distinction in their eternal Godhood. Whatever the Father is, Jesus is. And so we see in this amazing list of statements here that there is this Godhood, this divinity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip's problem was that he wasn't getting that reality. He could not grasp what Jesus was and what he would do because he didn't grasp his eternal deity. Now look at verse 9 and you'll see the Lord's indictment upon Philip's very small thinking. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Have you not figured out by now that I am God, eternal God in the flesh? And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And so here is a call to every one of us to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus, to study him, and then we shall comprehend the Father. Even after 3 years, Philip still had not got a right view of the Godhead of Christ. His thinking was too human and it was too small. And surely this is where each of us go wrong. And when you lessen in any degree the eternal deity, Godhood of Jesus, you are in error. You are already in error. Once you remove one iota of divine difference between the Father and the Son, you're in error. And so we need to come back to this great grand truth that Jesus is God. He is equal with the Father, and he possesses all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, surely we need to be led back to this truth, and this is what we must dwell upon. I know we have called a day of prayer, but our praying must be in Jesus' name. And you'll see that in verse 14. He said, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. But that name leads us back to who Jesus is. He's not just small God with small g. He is not just a great man. He is not just a wonderful teacher or a great leader. He is God. And being God, we pray in his name. I want to give you a statement by E.M. Bounds. He said, the faith which creates powerful praying is the faith which creates itself or centers itself on a powerful person. So if you diminish your view of the person, you're going to greatly weaken your praying. And today we're going to be praying on Jesus' name. Now there are three things outlined in this passage which fall into place if we truly grasp the fullness of Jesus' Godhood. And I want you to see them here. They begin in verse 12, where Jesus makes this grand proclamation, verily, verily, I say unto you. And here is the Lord's formula of affirmation. Verily, verily, these things are absolutely true. He that believeth on me, and he goes on to give a whole list of things. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And now, if you've got a pen or a pencil, or perhaps you want to just jot this down on a separate piece of paper, I want to give you a very clear outline that is built right into these verses, 12, verse 13, and 16. And these statements begin with the conjunction word and. It says in verse 12, and greater works than these. Then verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And then again in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And so you can see that there is a very definite progression of statements here built on the same fact that if you believe on me, if you comprehend, if you accept that I am God, equal with the Father, I have come to reveal the Father. And if you build on that, then these things will follow. I want us to look at those things right now. Verse 12, we are told that if we believe on the Son, that he is God of God, we shall do greater works than Christ. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I told you that this would be staggering. This is almost sounds like bragging or presumptuous, that we are going to do greater works than Jesus himself. How can that possibly be? If I didn't read that here in the Bible, I wouldn't dare state it. I wouldn't dare preach it. But here it is in the Word of God. What? We who are but little lumps of clay are going to do greater works than Jesus, the Son of God? Well, firstly, let me say that it doesn't apply to physical miracles. There was no one who ever outperformed the Lord Jesus in physical miracles. No one but our Lord Jesus, except Peter for a little moment as he kept his eyes on the Lord, ever walked on water. No one except the Lord fed the 5,000 with a small lunch, and again another time 4,000. No one raised someone from the dead, a Lazarus that was in the grave 4 days. No one did the miracles that Jesus did in greater number. Neither were isolated miracles performed by the apostles, but they did not outnumber the works of the Lord Jesus. So, what are these miracles? Look at the latter part of verse 12, which says, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When the Lord was ascended to the Father, his work was not done. He went to reign at the right hand of God. He became the head of the church. To him was given the keys of the kingdom, and he was the ruler over all dominion. And so at Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that led to thousands of conversions, the explosion of evangelism, the planting of churches in a very short period of time, which is really greater works than the Lord Jesus ever performed, if you go by numbers of conversions, new churches, the advance of Christianity through the apostles, not only in the Jewish world, but in the Greek world, the Roman world, even over to Babylon, and on into India. Thomas was an apostle to India. These are the greater works. Now, those were done because Jesus was at the right hand of the Father, pouring out his power to work his work through the preaching of the gospel. Now, there is a verse in Acts 2, verse 33, that will establish this which I'm saying. Acts 2 and verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
It's truly amazing that the works of the Lord Jesus are multiplied over and over now that He is with the Father, reigning in glory and building His church. And we rejoice that Jesus is still building His church today. So never lose hope, never lose heart in the work of the gospel. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and if I can be of any personal help, make sure you give me a call. My number is coming up in the announcement soon, and email as well as our website. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have never let us know that you're listening in, well, we would be delighted to hear from you. I want to thank the many that called, especially at the close of the year, for letting me know that they have been listening and helped through these programs day by day. And that certainly quickens our step, gives us joy in the work that we're doing, and we trust that across this land of Canada, many will hear the good news that Jesus saves. And I trust that you will keep on listening, let others know, and join us day by day at these times. The Lord bless you richly today and encourage your heart. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Now, if you are shut in and lonely and you need encouragement, give me a call. I look forward to your phone call, and I will be glad to pray with you to encourage you in the Lord. Thank you for being our faithful listener today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.